He remembered what Brunn had said about that man at the schools. What was his name? She'd claimed he was making too many mistakes, but that was right before she and Esme had the big fight. Baron had no idea what had happened after that, if anyone else had confirmed Brunn's suspicions. Still, he paid close attention to Zuckerman every time his own duties took him that way. The man seemed much like every other Master Chief he'd met. Decades of experience providing him with a depth of knowledge and competence far beyond the ability of an ensign to assess. Zuckerman could be missing whole chunks and he'd never know it. He liked Zuckerman, and Zuckerman seemed to like him. He hoped he wouldn't find anything to worry about. He worried that he might miss something important. But most of the time, he was too busy to worry, too busy to find time to visit Zuckerman. He had watches to stand, inspections to take, duties that kept him busy. He had peers, the other ensigns in both command and technical tracks, whose personalities and relationships became ever more important as time went on. He tried not to think of Esme. As time wore on, he could not stay angry, but he remained confused. They had liked each other a lot back on Kosciusko. They had shared secrets neither had told anyone else. He had expected her to welcome his presence at Copper Mountain, and granting that she had been extremely busy and tired, there was still something else different about her, a new reserve, a tension. And then there had been Brunn, always around when he wanted to talk to Esme, always with time on her hands. Exuberant when Esme was reserved, jolly when Esme was serious, fun when Esme was, he would not say dull, because to him she was never dull, but busy, tired, not really present when she was sitting right beside him. Perhaps she never had loved him. Perhaps it had worn off and she was too kind to say so. That didn't make sense, though, if she was angry because she thought Brunn had enticed him into her bed. He thought of sending mail, but after all, their quarrel wasn't his fault. As he came to know the other junior officers better, he noticed that he kept running into one in particular, Cassie Ferrati. He'd heard of Cassie Ferrati back at the academy, but she'd graduated before he started. He knew how rumors grow with time and assumed that the stories of her beauty and her behavior were both inflated. Baron first noticed Lieutenant Ferrati because of her hair, that uncommon golden blonde, like Brunn's, but different. Brunn's hair had a life of its own. It curled vigorously, even when just groomed, and when she was upset or excited and raked her fingers through the curls, it looked like an uncombed poodle. Lieutenant Ferrati's hair lay in a sleek wave beside her perfect cheekbones. Blondes were rare in Fleet. Perhaps that accounted for Lieutenant Ferrati's nickname, Goldie, which he heard in the junior wardroom the first night. He noticed her next because she kept showing up where he was and speaking to him. She was a jig on the watch rotation, so of course she would be where he was part of the time, but he began to realize that he saw her more than any other jig, even when she wasn't on shift watch. He hadn't thought about her being in Esme's class at the academy until she brought it up while initialing the mid-watch report.
You know Lieutenant Suizan, don't you, Ensign?
Yes, sir.
I wonder if she's changed much. We were classmates, you know.
No, sir, I didn't know that.
Ferrati fiddled with the data wand.
I mean, she was such a stiff, formal person. Not really friendly. But from what everyone says, she's such a born leader, so I was wondering.
Tiny alarm bells rang in Baron's back brain, but his forebrain was ahead of them.
She's fairly formal, yes, but I believe it has something to do with her background.
Oh, yes. Both of us were the colonial outcasts, you know. I'm Crescent Worlds. I think they expected me to insist on wearing one of those trailing silk things.
Ferrati's hands fluttered and waved. Baron had no idea what she meant, and his expression must have showed it.
Oh, I guess you haven't seen the bad story cubes about us. I think they got the costumes from back on old Earth, because, of course, no one actually wears them. Long, flowing garments that cover young women from head to toe, but flutter fetchingly in the breeze.
Baron had no time to pick out what detail had set off the alarms again.
But Esme, Lieutenant Suiza, she told me once her whole family was military. Very formal, very correct. which is why I can understand her having a quarrel with the Speaker's daughter, but not how she could lead anyone anywhere.
I didn't know the quarrel was common knowledge.
I don't see how anyone could keep it quiet. It was on the news flashes, after all. Screamed like a harpy, is what I heard. And told the Speaker's daughter she had no more morals than a tavern whore.
It wasn't like that.
Ferrati looked at him with an indulgent smile that made him feel like a small child.
That's all right, Ensign. I'm not asking you to turn your back on a fleet hero.
Ferrati made him feel uncomfortable. She was always looking at him. He would glance up and discover those clear, violet eyes and an amused quirk to her mouth. She seemed to impinge on his space in a way that Esme never did. Brunn, though she had been overtly interested in his body, had backed off without rancor when refused. But this... He went into the gym, convinced that whatever was going on was his fault. He had done something, what he couldn't figure out, that aroused her interest. He climbed onto the exercise machine he'd reserved and set the controls. Past the warm-up phase, into the sweaty part of the workout, his mind drifted to Esme. She was exec of a specialty ship now. He could imagine her in a rescue situation. She might do something spectacular and get back in everyone's good graces.
Hello, Ensign.
There beside him on the next machine was Ferrati. Baron blinked, confused. She hadn't been signed up for that machine. He'd made sure of that. But now she was warming up, her body as sleek as her golden hair, in a shiny exercise suit that outlined every curve. Baron nodded a greeting. Ferrati started her own machine.
You're a hard worker. I guess that goes with being a Serrano, eh?
He had to say something. She was still looking at him, and it would be rude to ignore her, possibly even insubordinate.
It's expected, sir.
No need for formality in the gym. I approve of the attitude and the results, Baron.
Her look ranged over him with particular attention he couldn't mistake. Well, he would have to say something. But before he could, Major Oslon climbed onto the machine on Ferrati's other side.
Hey, Cassie, let Serrano finish his workout. He's too young for you anyway. I, on the other hand...
Ferrati gave Baron a last lingering look before turning to Oslon.
Why, Major, you're incorrigible. What makes you think I'm after Ensign Serrano?
Glad to know you're not. I must have been misled by the fit of that exercise suit.
This whole thing?
Baron had seen less obvious flirting from professionals at the trade, but Oslon didn't seem to mind. He and Cassie bantered a while, and when he invited her to a game of parpon, she agreed, with a last lingering look at Baron that bothered him all over again. A few days later, Baron was on his way through troop deck on a routine inspection of the traps in the heads. Hairballs in the traps were a constant problem.
What the...
He looked around, trying to locate the sound, slightly behind him and to the right. After a few moments, he pinpointed the source, D-82. Baron looked in to see Master Chief Zuckerman, face almost purple with rage and exertion, dragging someone by the heels.
Chief, what's going on?
Out of my way!
Zuckerman did not seem to recognize him. His eyes were dilated.
Chief!
Baron could not see clearly past him, but the limpness of the leg Zuckerman held bothered him. He lifted his gaze a little, down the row of racks to one with a depression where someone had been sitting, a needler case on the pillow.
Chief, put that down!
Baron had no idea what had happened, but it was trouble all the same. He reached back for the alarm beside the hatch.
Oh, no you don't, you puppy!
Zuckerman dropped the man's feet and charged. Baron ducked aside, and Zuckerman kept going, bouncing off the opposite bulkhead. By then, Baron had slapped the alarm, cutting in local scan.
Security! ASAP! Man down! Possible assault!
Zuckerman turned, more slowly than he'd charged.
Not possible. That bastard attacked me! Me, a Master Chief with 20... 20... He shouldn't have done that. Not right.
Chief, what happened?
None of your lip, boy. What the devil are you doing wearing officer's insignia? That's illegal. You want to get tossed out? You take those pings off your uniform this minute, Pivot.
Master Chief Zuckerman, I ask you a question.
Zuckerman stared at him, his face blanking a moment.
Ensign Serrano, what's that you were asking me, sir?
Baron wondered where security was, what was taking them so long.
Chief, I'm watch officer today. I heard something funny and came to look. You're in 82 dragging someone, and there's a needler case on a rack.
Zuckerman stepped forward, but Baron put up his hand.
No, don't go in there. Security's on the way. I want nothing disturbed. Can you tell me what happened?
Zuckerman was sweating now, his face shiny with it. His hands opened and closed rhythmically.
He was gonna kill me. He pulled a needler. He said he'd never be caught.
Zuckerman shook his head, then looked at Baron again.
Son of a bitch. Actually tried it. If I didn't have good reflexes, I'd be dead in there. So I grabbed his hand and got the needler and hit.
He turned pale and sagged against the bulkhead.
I hit him and then I hit him and...
Chief, stay where you are. Can you do that?
Yes, sir. But I don't know.
Just stay there. I need to check the guy. What's his name?
Moradon. Corporal Moradon.
All right, I'm going in. I want you to stay exactly where you are.
Moradon lay where Zuckerman had dropped him, unmoving. Baron stepped closer. Now he could see the bruises and blood on the man's head, and a long streak of blood on the deck where he'd been dragged. Baron couldn't tell if he was breathing. He knelt beside the limp body. Through the open mouth, he could just feel the moist breath against the back of his hand. He stood up and went back to the corridor. Zuckerman stood where he'd been told, and down the corridor came a security team with medical assist.
Sir?
The sergeant in charge's gaze flicked quickly from Baron to Zuckerman, down to Zuckerman's hands, back to his face, and Baron could see the puzzlement in his eyes.
There's a man down in 82, head injuries, but he's breathing. You'll need to secure the area for forensic examination and look for a loose needler.
The sergeant waved the medical team forward and gave the necessary orders to his team. Then he glanced at Baron again.
Did the man in there attack Chief Zuckerman, sir, or you?
If you please, Sergeant, just see to it that the area is secured and that the injured man is treated appropriately.
Yes, sir.
Before the sergeant could comment, Baron turned to Zuckerman.
Chief, I need you to come with me to make a report. Can you do that?
Of course, sir. What's the problem?
Baron wished he had an answer for that.
We'll let the exec sort it out.